Dateline, Colorado Springs, Colorado, July 7th, 2006. Autonomous vehicle first to conquer Pikes Peak.
PRWebPodcast.com. Visiting with newsmakers and industry experts.
This is Andrew from PRWeb, and today I'm here with Bill Cayley, the general manager of Axion Racing. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Andrew.
Bill, tell us a little bit about Axion Racing.
Well, back in January 2003, myself and some private researchers, college students, doctors, a lot of people from the University of San Diego all got together and started building cars that drive themselves. We took on the first DARPA Grand Challenge, which was a federally funded race of these autonomous vehicles. We went from Barstow to Prim. The farthest any car went was about 12.4 miles. We took off as the sixth team, ended up having GPS issues and ended up behind the starting line. Second race was recently in October of 2005. Stanford won $2 million going 136 miles through the desert. We ended up taking off third and finishing seventh after suffering a unfortunate wheel alignment issue. That has led us to the Pikes Peak Road Race, which is September 23rd of 2006. And that will go, it's only 12 miles, but you have to climb 5,000 feet in those 12 miles. We feel very confident that we'll do well in that race.
Tell us a little bit more about Pikes Peak. What are some of the guidelines for entering that competition?
The same group that does what's called the Race to the Clouds, it's the second longest road race in America besides the Indy 500. And you start at roughly mile 7 of a 19-mile ride up the hill. They will close the road, and each individual bot, which is a vehicle that drives itself, will take off from that spot and go up the hill. To alleviate the Pike Peak group's angst about who's going to participate, they're only inviting people who were qualified for the 2005 DARPA Grand Challenge.
The Pikes Peak Challenge is not the first vehicle challenge that Axion Racing has participated in. What are some others?
The autonomous vehicle challenges that Axion Racing has already participated in include two. The first one was held in 2005, and it was a race. There were roughly 13 vehicles that attempted this. The farthest anyone went out of the 146 miles was 12. Nobody was ready for the race. It was produced by the Defense Department research vehicle. And that's the same group that produced the internet, the Predator planes that fly themselves. And what they're attempting to do is get supply vehicles that drive from, let's say, Baghdad to Irkutsk in Iraq. And nobody keeps count of how many Hummers were lost in a day. It's a win-win for everybody. And the hope is that this technology will then flow down to the general public so that you and I can both have cars that drive themselves roughly within 10 years.
Wow. So you're really going to make it easy for the ladies to put on their mascara in the car, huh?
Well, you know, the other thing, what it will do is it's just going to change the inside of the car. And instead of having people looking out in front, you got your side driver telling you to hit the brakes, you can envision that those front seats will turn to the back. You might have a table in the middle, and everyone, all four or six or eight people, will just, it'll be like being in your living room where you just can communicate. All of a sudden, the car stops and you go, we're here. As an offset, there is another race that's tentatively planned, and that would be held by the National Federation for the Blind, and it would be initially called the Blind Driver Challenge. And that's an exciting thing because the only people that will end up driving cars when everything is said and done would be the blind. Blind people, when they dream of speech and talking, which is rare for the sighted. It's just, you know, how they process things. So giving them a car that through tactile feel and other sensors, they'll be able to see the world around them will open up a huge opportunity for that niche market also.
Bill, can you tell us how your vehicles drive?
Absolutely. The most important starting issue is where are we in the world? So we use two NavCom GPS units, which are a high-end unit, one in the front of the vehicle and one in the back, and that helps the vehicle know what direction it's pointed in. They tie into a Northrop Grumman inertial navigation system, and that takes the GPS locations and through the rotation of the Earth knows exactly where the vehicle is, even if GPS signals are blocked or lost. So now that the car knows right where it is, and it follows waypoints, much like any car that gives you directions on how to get to grandma's house, make a right here, make a left there, you finally here. It follows these waypoints. There might be 10 or 10,000. In conjunction with waypoint following, we have five other systems that we use. One is laser lights that bounce off positive obstacles. They're called LADAR, and they allow robots to play soccer because they see the ball above a flat surface. We use what are called stereo camera vision systems, and those work like your eyes. Instead of a mono camera lens, it has two lenses, and one looks for distance, much like the LADAR, and the other one looks for depth. So if you come to a curb that you're going to drive down on, these cameras allow you to see the curb and how far out it is. Another camera that we use for autonomous driving is called a RGB camera, red, green, blue. And that camera is very useful in seeing where the road is. And in field testing, after you utilize these cameras, the road becomes very easy to pop out in the display, and the vehicle knows that it should stay on the road and not on the cliff. We also have incorporated sound. As you're driving out in the field, any change in road sound means you should either increase or decrease. But through testing, we found that if you keep at the same speed, you're going to run into issues. And then the final thing we use is rolling it all into a artificial intelligence system that makes quick, safe movements that allow the vehicle to drive around obstacles, slow down when necessary, and even stop if required. And the issue is it has to be done quickly and with an amount of control. So presently we're using Dell Xeon dual processors and a lot of memory chips to pull this off. Our hope is that our next release will be about half the size of our present answer, which fills up the entire last cargo portion of our Jeep Grand Cherokee. And we do believe that eventually we can get this into almost a golf cart size vehicle. So you won't have to worry about where the cart is. You'll just have to find the ball when you're playing. And that's the sort of thing is every release, every 18 months, half the size of the prior one.
That's great. Can you give us a little bit of contact information, like a website, a possible email address for Axion Racing?
Absolutely. Our website is worldwideweb.axionracing.com. And our email contact is contact@axionracing.com. And we're out of Westlake Village is the corporate offices, and the research and development is out of our San Diego office.
Again, we're here with Bill Cahaley, the general manager of Axion Racing. Thank you so much for being here with PR Web today.
My pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Produced by PR Web, the online visibility company. This work is released under Creative Commons Sampling Plus 1.0. Under this license, you are permitted to sample, mash up, or otherwise creatively transform this work for commercial or non-commercial purposes, provided that proper attribution is made. For more information, please visit prweb.com.